Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, my wife's got a word for you.
Yeah, the Lord said we need some more money. We're doing pretty good. We have cash of $30,431. We have gifts given of $5,814, gift card of $25. We have a total of $36,270. I need approximately 2,000 more to finish Christ Haven. And then we also have the Six Flags tickets, which are, they requested 75 Six Flag tickets, and they're like $69.99 a piece, and that comes up to $5,250. So if you want to help with any of that, that'd be great. Okay, Paula, Sue over here. Hold your hand up, Paula. You only have two cakes left. Cakes for the kingdom. She is selling the cake, so if you'd like a cake.
Amen.
And the money goes to the children. Well, there's only two left that she baked in her anointed stove this time.
Amen.
So I bought one this time, or my husband did. And then also, Dee, you want to hold up your hand? Adrian's wife, she's making hand-embroidered tea towels. And so if you'd like to, they're really pretty too. And so if you'd like to, she's got some with her, if you'd like to, you know, order, purchase whatever from her. And she's giving all the money to Christ Haven also. Last year we raised almost $95,000, and we gave to 6,223 children, elderly, and homeless. So, and yeah. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right. So if y'all,
thank
you know,
Jesus.
You can't outgive God, and also He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, Psalm 50, verse 10. So y'all need to get involved and help us out with all this, and we would appreciate it. And on your check or tithe envelope, just write Christmas or children, so it goes to the right place. God bless. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah. So anyway, I'm going to start off today with a couple of testimonies. One of them is here in the church, and the young lady didn't want to get up here and talk. So that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. If you don't want to get up and talk, just tell me I'll talk. I'll tell what Jesus did. Anyway, this young lady goes to vote last Friday. She's signing her name. You know how they tell you, look, you got to have either your voter ID, your registration card, or your driver's license or something. And so you give it to them, and then they say, sign right here. She's signing, saying, how's your day going today, or something like that. And the lady there says, I have a terrible migraine headache. Now, as a good Christian lady, after what we've been talking about prayer and how God is wanting to answer our prayer, what do you think this lady should have done? I speak to that headache, and I command, and don't never look up, just keeps writing. I speak to your headache. I command your headache to leave you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And finish signing her name, looks up and says, the headache's gone, isn't it? And the lady said, it is. It's gone. She praised the Lord and thanked the Lord, said, Pastor, you've done that so many times. I thought, if you can do it, I can do it. And is that true?
Yes.
Yes, if I can do it, Jesus, I am not something special with the Lord, am I, Tony? No, I'm just the son of God, just like you are. And so God honors faith, and He wants us. That's why He tells us to pray. Yes. And we're going to talk more about that today. But also while we were in Houston, we had a lady, you know, and she was definitely an elderly lady. She and her husband had been married 50 years. And she heard me say things that she had heard before in church but didn't know they meant what they said. You ever seen things like that? Wives, you must submit to your own husband in everything. You know, no woman believes that. God would never do that to us. But He did. Anyway, I said something like, you know, she's sitting back there thinking, you know, look, this is my body. I will do what I want to with my body. When I say, you know, you say your body is your own, but it's not. It's bought with a price. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Oh, does the scripture say that? We are not our own. We're bought with a price. And then if you happen to be a wife, your body is not your own. It belongs to your husband, according to the word. Is that what it says? So anyway, she heard me say all those things. Now she says, I am in big trouble. So she says, I have not been a very good wife, especially the last few years. I've kind of done what I wanted to do because after all, this is my body. I'll do with it what I want to. She said, that's what I tell myself. But that's not true, is it?
Nope.
It's not true at all. So anyway, it had brought terrible pain into her right side and her right hip and her right leg. Isn't that amazing? On the right side. For over a year, she's been in bed pain. And so She went up to her husband after the service was over, the first service, and she said, "Honey, I am so sorry. I have not been as good a wife as I could have been. But I kind of thought I'm doing my own thing, and I really realize now I'm not a good wife. And so I'm asking you to forgive me, and I promise you I will do a better job at being a wife than I have been in the past." And he says, "Well, honey, I'm so sorry that I have said a few sharp things to you when you weren't the good wife you were supposed to be. I wasn't a very good husband either." So he said, "I ask you to forgive me." And so they did. They had a little reunion right there in the back of the church. And then she goes over to right over there on the end of the pew and sits down waiting for her grandchildren to be prayed for. And one of them comes up to her and says, "Grandma, I want you to go do something with me." And she knows how stove up she's getting in her older years. You know, we just think this is just a life. We don't realize there's a sin behind this. So she starts to get up, and as she starts to raise herself up, she grabs the seat in front of her, and she starts to push herself up, and my God, there's no pain in my body. There's no pain in my body. And so she had to come up and tell me. She said, "Pastor, you didn't even get to pray for me. I was waiting for my children to be prayed for, and I thought then I'll come and let you pray for me." I said, "What'd you do?" She said, "I just repented to the Lord for not being the good wife I should have been. I repented to my husband for not being the good wife I should have." And she said, "I went and sat down, and when I started to get back up a while ago," she said, "for the first time in well over a year, there's not any stiffness or pains in my body." Would God do that to you? Yes, he will. Yeah, when God says things in his word, does he mean what he says?
Yes,
yes he does. He really does. And I just stand in awe at the things God said in his word. And since we're talking about prayer and the last couple of weeks, and of course we're going to talk about it again today, I want us to recap just a little. Let's go to Matthew 7:7-8, and let's see what this says. Now, I want you to meditate on this. You can't get too much word in you. And this is why we're meditating on these. This is why we're going back and recapping these. Matthew 7:7-8. And look at that. Now, this is the third week we've been over this. "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." For how many? Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let me ask you a question. How many times in your life, as a Christian, has something happened to you, and instead of asking God to show you what you needed to do or to help you with something, you go into a grumbling and complaining mode and start feeling sorry for yourself? Is that what we do? Instead of saying, "Okay, God, with you and me, there's not anything any more powerful than you and me. And you said in Matthew 7:7, you know, that's not that hard to remember. Matthew 7:7. I mean, lock that in your spirit today. In Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask, seek, knock, and it will be mine." Is that what he said?
Yes.
Do you think he meant that?
Yes.
So see, instead of grumbling and complaining, we should say, "Okay, Lord, I've got a problem right here today with this. I got a back pain, or I got whatever, you know, anything that might be giving you a problem. I have a problem, Lord. I'm asking according to Matthew 7:7. Now, Lord, in Matthew 7:7, you told me to ask and you will answer my prayer." Is that what he said? So, Father, I ask you to heal my back or fix my back or whatever. Now, Lord, I thank you. It's done. But here's what we do. We say, "Oh, well, I'm going to pray and I hope God hears my prayer today." You don't remind him of his promises. He watches over his word to perform his word. He don't watch over your words, but he watches over his word. And if we don't come to him on behalf of his word, and then we come to him grumbling and complaining, he cannot go against his word, so nothing happens. Nothing happens. We don't get anything. All we do is grumble and complain. Or if somebody does come in and that's a man or woman of faith, and you say, "You know, I really got this problem. You know, I have this splitting migraine headache." Isn't that something? You know, but you know what so many of us, even as Christians, say, "You know, I saw some kind of stuff on TV the other day, supposed to be really good for migraine headaches. You ought to try some of it." Is that what we do a lot of times? We do that far too often, do we not? I mean, I can remember when I was a young Christian, until I was about 30 or 35 years of age, we used to have what we called a medicine cabinet in our bathroom. Oh, you've had those too, huh? And guess what was in the medicine cabinet? Oh, my Lord, there's every kind of pill you can think of in there, you know. I mean, have you ever seen one of those? Did you have one of those too?
For a short time.
For a short time too? Man, I had one for a long time. You know, I mean, a medicine cabinet, my goodness gracious, alive. You mean, and if you get hurt or anything, we need the medicine kit. That's what we use. You know, we never dreamed of using God's word in prayer. But if you use God's word in prayer, when you use it and you call upon him and say, Lord, you said in Matthew 7:7. Now then, I'm going to do it to you all today. I'm just going to point. Now, if you absolutely do not want to answer, just say, come and go to somebody else. What did Matthew 7:7 say?
Ask and you shall receive.
Did it really say that? Jason, you really think he meant that?
Yep.
The next line, what did he say? How many times did we get our answer? Jack, if everyone that asks gets all this stuff, then for God's sake, why don't we ask him? Instead of saying, oh, Lord, I have this terrible migraine headache, and oh, why don't you try one of these new Anisons or whatever? You know, they really were good. They don't work near as good as Jesus does. But you know, you can have all these promises and you can have your medicine cabinet. And if all you've ever heard in your whole life is the medicine cabinet, nobody you ever knew trusted God. But you know, if you grew up in a home with a mother and a daddy that didn't have a medicine cabinet, but they had the Word of God, and anytime we needed something for pain or a cut hand or anything else, get hurt or anything, if we say, come over here, children, we're going to take the word of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, that we can ask, knock, seek, and he will answer our prayer. Is that what he said, Kim?
Absolutely.
Can you go wrong?
No, that's perfect.
So why do we as Christians do so little asking? Why? What, honey?
Lack of faith.
We don't believe he'll do what he said, do we? We just don't believe he will. Now then, let's go a little bit further here. In that Matthew, seek, knock, and all that stuff. Every time he said the answer is yes, and he never turned us away. Is that what he said? Let's go to Luke 18:1-7. Luke 18:1-7, and let's see what that says. Now, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you would make notes or write these down somewhere so that you would know that these are yours. So let's go to Luke. Okay, there we are. Okay, yeah, that's not it. We're getting there. I did see Luke come up at the bottom of the page down there, Luke 18:1-7. There we go. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. How often are you supposed to pray?
Always.
So what is it left out about always? And not to faint. I can remember one time, it was a little Hindu Indian boy. He worked for me down at DFW Airport when I used to be the manager down there years ago when I was working. And he worked on trucks. And one of the boys called me and said, Thurman, one of the boys cut his finger and he's bleeding and he needs to talk to you. I said, okay, so I'm the manager, so I go running down there. And he was cutting a piece of rubber with a razor blade, and the razor blade slipped out of the rubber and hit his finger and cut about a half inch long, about a quarter inch deep. You know, that's a scratch for a mechanic. I mean, if you've been a mechanic all your life, that's merely a scratch. Is that right, Michael? Just a little tiny flesh wound, yeah. Mike's a mechanic, just like I used to be a mechanic, and I know how many times I've been cut or scraped or whatever. I went down there and I looked at this and I said, oh, George, that's not bad. I said, let me put a Band-Aid on it. He said, no, Thurman, I want you to take me to the doctor and have it sewed up. I said, you want to sew that up? I said, that's only a half inch long and a quarter inch deep. I said, maybe one stitch, if you could get a stitch in that, that's all you could get. I said, you don't need a stitch. I said, let's just stick it down some water and wash it up and put a Band-Aid on it. No, I want to go to the doctor. I said, okay. So I told him, I said, one of the boys had wrapped his hand up in a rag. I put the rag back around it. He's looking off like this. So anyway, we get in my truck and I start heading over to the doctor's office. And I told him, I said, son, you know, that's such a little tiny thing. I said, it's really not much of nothing. He said, but Thurman, it's bleeding. And I said, yeah, it is bleeding a little. He said, eh. And he took the hand off. He said, oh my gosh, it really is. And his eyes just rolled and it went crash. I thought, oh my God, what a tough guy. You know, when I read that on their scripture says men ought not to faint, that story come back to me just like that. I thought, if he'd have been with me the day I cut my hand in that overhead door and tore it all to pieces, and Dr. Jack told me that when he looked at it, he said my hand needed 200 stitches. But he said, I know you ain't going to a doctor. You're just going to trust Jesus. I said, that's exactly right. And looking at it from the physical world, it looked bad, didn't it, Jack? Jack's the only one that saw it. He saw my hand all wrapped up that Sunday. And he said, what'd you do? And I told him I got it hung in an overhead door. I tore it all to pieces. And he said, can I see it? And I said, yes. We went back to my office. I said, I don't want nobody to see it but you. Since you're a doctor, I'll let you look at it. We went back there and he looked at my hand, tore all to pieces. And he said, my gosh, Thurman. He said, you need a couple hundred stitches in that hand. But I know you, being the man of faith you are, you ain't going to do nothing. You're just going to let Jesus heal it. Is that right? I said, that's exactly right. And I let Jesus heal my hand. I never had a stitch or nothing. And today, you can't find a scar on my hand. It's beautiful, isn't it, Miss Jackie? Yeah. I'm going to let you look at it one more time, girl. Look at that hand. Did he do good work on that hand?
Superb work.
Yeah. But is that the kind of work our King does?
Yes. Amen.
Now then, when you trust Him and let Him... Oh, you never have seen my hand.
I have not.
Look at that hand. Look where that... This hand starting right here. All the meat on this finger was laying down here, and all these fingers were tore all to pieces. Meat was tore... overhead door cleaver. It just tore my hand. I mean, it run around my hand like a guillotine. No, it ain't none. Jesus fixed them all. And it works. Isn't that something? How good a work does he do?
Great work.
How good a work is he going to do on your back?
Fabulous.
Amen. Same kind of deal. He's that kind of God. I mean, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or imagine. It's just amazing what God can do. But anyway, I thought about that young man when I thought about that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I thought, well, I didn't even pray over this little tiny. I thought it was just, I mean, when you've been a mechanic all your life, I remember one day I was up on the roof putting some electrical panels in, and I had a screwdriver, and I was in a hurry. It was getting close to time to quit in the afternoon, and I was needing to get these disconnect panels put on these boxes, and I'm running my screwdriver as hard as I can, and I didn't have an electric screwdriver, doing everything by manual hand, and I'm pushing real hard on that screwdriver, and as I'm pushing real hard, the screwdriver slips off of the screw and goes through a hole, and my hand goes inside that steel box, and it starts right there, right above the thumbnail, and just peels it all off, plumb back to right there, just ripped it off. Back in those days, I didn't even know. Maybe I'd done something, been smart to one of the guys or something. I don't know. It was on my right hand. I'd probably done something. You know, I didn't understand all those principles back in those days. So I looked at that, and I went over there, wrapped it up, and I said, one of the boys said, what happened? I said, my screwdriver slipped through the hole and I tore some meat off my thumb. Let me see it. Okay, look at it. Blood's running everywhere. And I said, okay. He said, wow, what did you say? I sat there and looked at it and I said, praise the Lord. He said, that's not what you say when you cut your hand. I said, what do you say? He said, you cuss. I said, no, that's not what I do. I'd never do that. People, the average person, when you get hurt, what do? They say something nasty. They say, instead of saying, Jesus, you said in Matthew 7:7 that I could ask for anything and you'll do it. See, that's what you should be saying, right? Matthew 7:7 says, I can ask, knock, open, it will be done. And everybody that asks gets an answer. So all you got to do is ask in faith. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Men should always pray and not to faint. But I mean, it was so amazing. I'll never forget that day that when he looked at that blood on his thumb, and it was just a little bitty tiny cut about that long. I mean, his eyes just rolled like that, and he just went back in his head, and he's out. I didn't have to worry about him the rest of it. I just rolled his hand back up in the rag and took him to the doctor and got there, and I had somebody help me get him out of the pickup, and we walked in. The doctor looked at it, and he took one stitch in that little bitty tiny cut and put a Band-Aid on it. I thought, wow, that's something. Now then he give us an example here in verse 2. He says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 3 and 4. And there was a widow in that city, that she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, verse 5, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she wears me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Verse 7. See what verse 7 says? And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry out day and night? Now there's something right there. Sometimes you may have to cry out more than 1 minute. You know, now here's the problem with us. Last night I come back out here and got a copy of Dave's testimony. Sickness is satanic oppression. How many of you have seen that DVD? Okay, man, that's a whole bunch of you have not seen it. Okay, if you have not seen Sickness is Satanic Oppression, you need to get a copy. It's right back on the table, right back there. You need to get a copy of Sickness is Satanic Oppression, and you need to look at what Dave Rosenfeld went through for 20 months trying to get healed. And then you will understand that when you get a cut on your thumb. Now see, I was very, very fortunate on my hand. When I repented for what caused this, and it was because I'd said something smart to my wife, you know, notice it's on the left hand, right? If us guys would get a hold of our mouth. You know when Jesus said the man that gets a hold of his tongue and when he really gets control of his tongue, he becomes perfect in all of his ways. You know, that's worth working on. You know that? But I didn't, you know, we're just human beings, and if we don't stay really close to God. But when your hand got tore up, like my hand got tore up, and I just trusted God to fix it, it only took 3 weeks for the Lord to completely put that hand back together. 3 weeks. I looked at that testimony last night of Dave, and it took almost 20 months for Dave to get healed. And if you've not looked at that and seen those pictures of what he looks like, I mean, yeah, I'm going to tell you, my hat's off to that boy. Miss Jackie, have you seen that testimony?
A couple of times.
It's gross, isn't it?
Sickening.
It's sickening. Yes, it is. It's gross. But I mean, but Dave and Yasha stayed with it. And they stayed with it for nearly 2 years. But when Jesus tells us to knock, seek, and open, it doesn't mean that every one of us are going to get an instantaneous healing. But he did promise to heal us, did he not? So if you do what Dave did, now me and Cheryl, we are spoiled rotten. We love to be spoiled rotten. Do you like to be spoiled rotten? Yeah, If you were to say, headache be healed, and it was healed instantly, wouldn't that make you feel good?
Oh, yeah.
It'd make you feel wonderful. Yeah, but that's the way we want it. We would love for it to do that. And, you know, God does that a whole lot for us. A whole lot. He does that to let us know that he's there, you know, that he's really there. And so, but sometimes, it's just like, well, we was talking about back troubles here a while ago with this gentleman. And me and Jack was, and I told him about Jack's story whenever Jack repented of his sins. And you know what the biggest sin in the church is today, brother? Amen. That's exactly it. Boy, it didn't take you long to pick up on that one. Unbelief. That is right. Unbelief of these awesome promises. Now then, if we don't believe these things will work, will they work? No, you're right. They will not work. I mean, you can keep your back troubled the rest of your life and God will never heal it. You got to come to him believing his promises. And that's why we go over these things so much, because I want you to know these promises are yes and amen for you every time. That's what he says. Wow, isn't that something? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Well, what is speedily? You know, if you're dealing with this thing for 20 months, is that speedily?
No.
To me, that's not speedily. Speedily is I lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith and your pain goes away right then. That's speedily. That's the way we like it, right? You like that, I like that. I like to get rid of pain. But every time God doesn't do it like that. Sometimes it takes a little while. And with Dave, when I looked at that testimony last night, like I say, if you have not looked at the DVD, Sickness is Satanic Oppression, which is right over there, right back there in the back, you need to get a copy of it and you need to look at it so you will have the faith to realize that when you pray, when you call out to God, if he doesn't answer your prayer in 5 minutes, that does not mean his answer is no. That's kind of the way we think, isn't it? Well, yeah, okay, well, I had a problem with my hand. I got it all tore up, and I mean, it was all tore up, and the doctor told me I needed 200 stitches, and me and my wife prayed, and I put the Band-Aid back around, and I went and laid down for 30 minutes, and I come back, took the Band-Aids off, and I couldn't tell there was no difference, so it must not be God's will to heal me. That's kind of the way we are. I mean, you know, maybe we give it till the next day. We prayed, and okay, so now I'm going to sleep on this tonight. Lord, when I wake up in the morning, if you want this healed, it's going to be totally healed. You wake up in the morning, take the bandage off, and it still looks awful. You think, well, it wasn't God's will, so I guess the doctor said I need 200 stitches. I guess we better head down to the doctor's office. Is that the way we do things as Christians? Unfortunately, that's the way we do things. We're not patient. We don't just keep standing. Dave kept standing. Him and Yesha kept standing. And the more they stood, the worse they got. I mean, those pictures, like I say, Miss Jackie said, they're gross. And they are. They're terrible, aren't they, Miss Jackie? Yeah, they were terrible, I'm telling you. If you haven't seen that DVD, you need to watch it. Because it will build your faith to the point that, hey, if it took Dave 20 months to get healed, then that scripture that God says, no matter how many promises God made us, all of them are yes. Hey, I never say no to my children. Then that means, hey, all I got to do is get rid of sins, find one of his promises, stand on it, and it answers yes, and I'm going to get well. I ain't going to have no back trouble the rest of my life. I had back trouble for many years of my life till I got a hold of this promise. I don't have it no more. Praise God. That young man back there in a yellow shirt that we talked to, that really is a doctor, he got healed the same way. And you see that sitting on the end of the aisle right there? That guy's a mechanic. He had that back trouble for years. And him and his wife come here and learned these principles. And they was working at home one day. And she prayed for him. His back was hurting so bad he couldn't stand it. And she took Matthew 18:19 and prayed over him and promised him in the name of Jesus that the word was true. And he was healed of back pain in one heartbeat. And Mike has never had another back pain. Now see, that's the way we love to get healed, right? But he don't do that every time. He didn't do that for Jack. But he healed him before he got to the car. You know, so that ain't too bad, is it?
That's second best.
Yeah, we'll take this one every time. But Jack's the second best. We'll take that. And if it's still hurting when you get home, we'll still take it. Because we know it's going to go away. Because unless we get into unbelief, we know it's going to work. Because God said his promises are yes and amen. He said, everybody that asks receives. Is that what he said?
Yes.
If God says everybody that asks receives, what does that mean? Everybody's going to get your answer if you stand on his promises and you don't turn your back on them, or you don't start saying, well, I guess God doesn't love me. I hear that. I hear people saying that. Well, it works for you, Thurman, but it don't work for me. No, it works for everybody that does it in faith. When you do it in faith, it works. Wow. Now then, let's go to Romans 8, 26 through 39. Romans 8, 26. And let's look and see what that says about prayer. Romans 8, 26. Now look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you come to the Lord, you know, there's one thing that I try to do this every day of my life. I know some days I don't get it done. But I try when I get up in the morning and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, fill me today to overflowing with the Spirit of the living God. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit, what can I get done, Michael? Everything. That's right. If you're asking him, Lord, somebody said, well, I asked him once 20 years ago. Well, yeah, I filled up my car 20 years ago, too, but it's run out several times since then. I had to fill it up again, lots of times. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? You use that up. You know, and where I got that revelation in Acts, whenever they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, tongues come upon them, and they prophesied and done all kinds of things. And then a few days later, they're all up there praying and everything, and the Holy Ghost come and refilled them. So if he needs to refill them, he probably needs to refill you and me. And so I want to be full as I can be of the Holy Spirit all the time, because if I'm full of the Holy Ghost and I ask him to fill me and to keep filling me, anytime I have a need, all I got to do is ask, and God is right there. The Holy Spirit's right there, and he will show me and tell me exactly what to do. And don't you love to hear the Spirit speak to you? I mean, it's wonderful to hear God's, you know, and sometimes that Spirit, he'll talk to you and somebody says, you know, I wished I could just hear God's voice one time. And I tell you, you know, if you've been here in this service, you've been hearing his voice. Every time I go over there and read off that screen, that's his word, that's his voice. It just hadn't been coming out of my voice, but that's God. You're hearing God. Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah, you need to realize that's the way it is. You want to hear God's voice? Just turn to yourself anywhere in the Bible and open it up and say, okay, God, I want to hear your voice, and start reading out loud. And you're hearing his voice. That's God's voice, that book. And so you can hear it anytime. Now, I realize that it's so wonderful when you get to hear him talk to you. And I love that. I really love that. I love it when the Spirit speaks. I mean, you hear that Spirit, but when God the Father speaks, I really love that. Wow. Somebody asked me the other day, how many times do you think you've heard God's authoritative voice? I said, I don't know, but well over 50 times. I've heard that voice. In fact, when I was with Bill Gothard, and I was going to teach at his seminar, he asked me a question one day when we were driving down the road. He said, Thurman, you say that you hear God talk to you. I said, well, yeah, I've heard lots of times I've heard God speak to me. He said, I've been in the ministry 45 years at that time. And he said, I have never, ever heard that voice. Never. I said, well, he said, I don't know anybody that's ever heard God speak to them besides you. And I said, well, have you ever asked anybody? No. I said, Bill, I said, the you two gentlemen that's in the front seat, one of them driving, one of them just riding. I said, have either one of you guys ever heard God speak to you audibly? Immediately one of them says, I have. The other one says, I have not. Bill looked up and he said, you've heard God talk to you? He said, sure. He said, why didn't you tell me? He said, you never asked me. let me ask. I asked the question. How many of you in this room have heard that either the Spirit or the audible voice of God the Father speak to you in your life? Wow, look at that. Look at the number of people that have heard God speak. So obviously he's in the speaking business, isn't he? If that many of y'all hear, when you hear God speak to you, he has something for you to do. And the thing about it is, if he has trained you and you have the word in you and he tells you something to do and you've got that word in you, then you'll probably obey a whole lot quicker than if you don't know anything about the word of God. Now, I know God can talk to you. He can tell you anything he wants to. But I think it works better if you get in the word and begin to study the word and listen to it. Then I believe it will be easier to hear his voice. Because the first several times, several times in the beginning, when I would hear God speak, it would be while I was reading the Word of God. He would tell me, I'm going to show you something. Wow. But it was just awesome to hear his voice. And sometimes when he would speak to me, he would tell me. Like, just to give you an example, I had been studying and meditating on Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23 says, that's an awesome promise. You know, in fact, put that on the board and let's look at it for a second. You need to know these promises are yours, and when you pray, and sometimes you don't have to pray, sometimes you just speak things into existence, where Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that's Thurman right there, that Thurman, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in Thurman's heart, but shall believe that those things which Thurman says, Thurman shall have whatsoever he saith. My car quit one day down in Granbury, Texas, my little Toyota. 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night. I pulled off the side of the road up under a street light. And I get out and I raise the hood and take the air cleaner off. Just had a few little tools. Took the air cleaner off and I'd been studying this scripture. I'd been meditating on this scripture. I was quoting this scripture. It's so powerful. You think, goodness gracious, if something like this really did work, what I could get done if this really did work? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you know it's there, but you never been in a church where anybody ever taught on Mark 11:23. You never heard anybody that had a demonstration of the Spirit's power with this. So you think, why would it only work for me? And not nobody else. And so I'm checking my car, and I take the air cleaner off, take the gas line off, have my wife turn the starter over, and no gas comes out. And I say, oh, shoot. Here I am in Granbury, Texas at 9 o'clock on Friday night in a foreign car. Now, this is a long time ago. This is about probably 77, 78 years old. 77, 78, a long time ago. I said, I'm dead in the water. Lord, what am I going to do? Now, you know, a lot of time we talk to God, but we don't believe he's going to answer. I certainly didn't believe he's going to answer. I'm talking to him. And I hear him say, son, didn't I tell you in Mark 11:23, whatever you say with your mouth, you can believe it with your heart, you can have it? I thought about that for a second and I says, yes, Lord, that's what you said. And then this is the revelation he said. Well, so if I said that and it means that, so, well, what are you going to do with it? It's too simple, right? It's too simple. God made it so simple, it's hard. And so I said, well, Father, and I grabbed hold. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to produce enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour until I get my wife and kids home. We're still 2 hours from my mother and dad's house. I said, thank you, Lord. So I grabbed the air cleaner, put the gas line back in, tightened it up, put the hood air cleaner back on, shut the hood, walk around, put the tools back in the back, get in under the seat. My wife says, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. And she kind of looked at me almost like that guy did when he rolled his eyes, you know. What's wrong with this guy? But me and God had something going on that nobody else knew about. And so I asked the Lord to give me enough gas to run 50 miles an hour until we got my wife and children home. And so I reached for the starter, and I hit the starter, and the car turned one time, and it's running. And I back out, and we're driving down the road. And, of course, the enemy immediately began to say to me, "You don't really think God is going to allow gas to run in this car for an old wicked guy like you?" I mean, he knows me well. The enemy knows me well, but Jesus knows me well, too. He knows that he died on that cross, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am his son, because he's been calling me son through this whole thing. And so I'm rebuking the devil and telling him to get off my shoulder. And my wife sat over thinking, "What is wrong with my husband? He's gone crazy." She didn't say a word, not a word. She didn't know what to say, because I'm fighting a battle she don't understand. And sometimes you girls all need to realize there may be times when your husband's fighting a battle that the best thing you can do is just be quiet. Just back off and let him and God have it. You know, don't start giving him a lot of trouble. Just get out of the way and let him and God do it. Is that right? That's the best thing you can do. When the scriptures say study, just learn how to be quiet. You know, you need to learn how to do that. All of us need that. So anyway, I pulled out on the road. The speed limit is down through there. It's about 35, 40 miles an hour in Granbury. So I'm driving the speed limit, you know, and when we get out the edge of town out there, the speed limit goes up to 55. So I push the throttle down, and I'm, now remember, this is really not praying, this is just speaking. There's a difference between praying and speaking things into existence. But this is a scripture where you speak it into existence. And so we're going down the road, and we're up to 35, 40, whatever. And then we come to the edge of the city limits, and the speed limit said 55. So I pushed it down and went right up to 50. And I got to 50, it wouldn't go no faster. And I thought, well, that's strange. And so I go down the road to 50 for a little while. And then I go up a big hill there on the other side of Granbury. And when I get to the top and go over the top, I'm still running 50. And then when I get to the bottom, I put the foot feet on the floorboard. And when I get to the bottom of the hill, I'm still running 50. I said, "Okay, Lord, this don't make no sense at all. I know it takes a whole lot more gas to run 50 miles an hour uphill than it does downhill. Why will a car only run 50? And he told me something that forever changed my life. He said, "Son, I'm not a fly-by-night God. I'm a faith God. You ask for enough gas to run 50 miles an hour to get you and your wife home, and that's all you get. You don't get 51, you get 50. That's all you get, 50. Whatever you ask for in faith, believing, that's what you get." Now see, that taught me a great principle. So when I all of a sudden I can't think of that lady's name down there at DFW Airport that day that come in there, and I'm sitting there 7 o'clock in the morning having a bowl of cereal. And she comes in there, and she's about 64 or 5 years old, and she's got her arms all wrapped up. Edith, that's her name, Edith. I said, "Edith, what is wrong with your arms?" She said, "Oh, Thurman, I've got carpal tunnel in both arms, and they hurt so bad, and I've been to a doctor, but they say they're going to have to do some kind of surgery on me." And I said, "Well, how would you like for Jesus to heal you?" Now, who in the world would ask a stupid question like that? Only somebody that knows their God, right? I mean, if you really know your God, if somebody says, "I have a splitting headache," you say, "Well, let me pray for you, or let me speak to that headache." You're going to do something, right? Yeah, if you really know your God. Now, if you don't know your God, you're going to tell him to get some medicine. But I told Edith that day, I said, "Well, Edith," I said, "how would you like for Jesus to heal you?" And she's standing in a doorway, which is about as far from here as to that doorway over there. And it's a big cafeteria, company cafeteria. And there's several people in there. When she's, well, I said, "Edith, what's wrong with your arms?" Well, she said, "I went to the doctor and they say I've got carpal tunnel in both arms. I'm going to have surgery." I said, "How would you like for Jesus to heal you?" Everybody in the cafeteria got deadly silent. I mean, there was not a dingle of a fork or nothing. Everything got total silent. And she says, "I would love it." I said, "Then come over here to my table." I'm sitting there eating a bowl of cereal. Doesn't that sound spiritual? You don't have to be doing nothing spiritual. Just do something, right? So she come walking over there through all the tables and got right there, and she laid her arm down, and I put one hand on that, and I raised the other one up in the air. And I said, Father, it is written. You told me I could lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. I said, but Father, you also said in Mark 11:23, whatever I say with my mouth, I believe with my heart will happen. So in the name of Jesus, I ask you to do a Jesus overhaul on this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Lord, I thank you. It's done in Jesus' name. And instantly the pain in her hands was gone. She began to jump around and said, glory to God. The pain in my wrist all went away, Thurman. It just left. There still ain't a sound in the cafeteria except her. She's the only one. Everybody else is sitting there thinking, what is wrong with these people? They're crazy. The only thing lacking is Jesus has not manifest where you can see him. Oh, if he had a manifest where you could see him, that whole place would have been cleaned out in about a second. Isn't that something? Now, what kind of authority did Jesus give us, his sons and daughters? And he tells us, he begs us to pray, to knock, to open, ask anything in my name, command things, and I'll do it for you. He's trying everything to get you and me to do something in prayer. So he can do something, because if we don't do nothing, what can he do? Nothing. He can't do nothing. You just think, well, you know, I'll just let God take care of it. No, if you let him take care of it, without your help on earth, he can't do nothing. So anyway, to show you what happened there after I prayed for her, and then, of course, I went ahead, and she's jumping and running and trumpet praising God and goes back to work. And I finished my bowl of cereal. Quietest morning I ever had in the restaurant, in the cafeteria. So anyway, I went down to my office. I'm sitting down there in my office, and Dan Robershaw, which was one of my leads, he walked in, and I'll never forget that. Dan opened the door, walked into my office like this and said, Thurman, I know that woman, and I know you. And he said, I stayed up there and talked to her after you left. He said, Thurman, that woman really is healed. And I said, well, Dan, I've been trying to tell you that Jesus is a healer. He said, I've been in a Presbyterian church all of my life, and I ain't never seen nothing like that. I said, well, I was in a Baptist church all of my life. I never saw anything like that either. But I said, I learned it reading the Word, Dan. It's in the Bible. Amen. So anyway, that was so much fun. I'll never forget that day. Anyway, about 3 months later, that little lady came walking in my office, and she said, Thurman, do you remember the prayer you prayed for me that day? I said, no, ma'am, I really don't. She said, you put one hand on my arm and you held the other up in the air and you said, Father, in the name of Jesus, do a Jesus overhaul on this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I said, okay. So he healed your carpal tunnel. So what are you trying to tell me? She said, the last time I went in for a checkup, I had several things wrong with me. And I just got back from the doctor's office. They'd done another checkup and there's not one single thing wrong with me. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Now, does what you say make a difference? Yes. What if I'd have said, Lord, just heal the carpal tunnel? That's all she would have got. But see, I remember that experience with my car. When the Lord told me he's a faith God and I only get what I ask for in faith. So you need to be aware that when you pray for somebody, if they got two or three things wrong with them, don't just pray for one. Pray for everything so he can heal it all. Is that right? Wow, praise the Lord. I just stand in awe of the wonderful things that God is trying to do with us. For look at that Mark 11:23. Let's just go over that one more time. For truly, barely, means truly, for truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Is that awesome or is that awesome? You know, if you can't go there to start off with a mountain, then speak to something else. You know, but start out with something you can have faith for. Wow. Okay. Let's go back to Romans 8, where we were. There in Romans 8, I think 26 or something like that, when it talks about the Spirit helping us. And like I'm telling you, so many people today, in the church that I was raised up in, which was a Baptist, they really don't believe there's a second experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what. If you don't believe that, then you won't, chances are you will never walk in these powerful anointings. But if you believe there is such a thing as an infilling power of the Holy Spirit, and somebody may tell you all kinds of things, you don't worry about all the different gifts that God's going to give you when you receive the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. You just believe he's going to do something. Somebody said, well, you know, I have never spoken in tongues. That's okay. If you ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, if he fills you with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to speak in tongues for him to use you mightily as long as that Holy Spirit's there. Now, can he use that same Holy Spirit to speak in tongues? Yes. Of course he can. Sure he can. And then there's people, I remember reading an article about Smith Wigglesworth where that Smith used to take his church over in England. He'd drive them in a wagon and a team. Everybody was sick after church on Sunday evening. He'd drive everybody in good weather because they didn't have all these nice air-conditioned cars and things that we got. Now they had horses and teams. He would load up all the sick folks in that wagon, and he'd take them over to another church where a guy lay hands on them and pray for them. And they all got healed. So one day that guy asked him, he says, aren't you the pastor of that little church over there? He said, yes, I am. He said, why are you bringing these people over here for me to pray for them? He said, because you pray for them, they get healed. He said, you have the same anointing in you. Just ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you have the same anointing in you that I have over here. So you don't need to drive them all the way over here. You can pray for them in your church and they'll get healed. He said, really? And so he thought, wow. This would save a lot of time, you know, if I didn't have to drive all these people way off over here to this other town, you know, which is 8 or 10 miles away in a wagon. You know, that's a long ways. So he started praying. He asked the Lord to fill him with the Holy Ghost. And the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he did any of the gifts come upon him? Not that he could tell. He didn't have any, he didn't speak in tongues. He couldn't interpret tongues. He couldn't do none of that stuff. But the people he started praying for started getting healed. So, wow. And then after he prayed for several of them and they got healed, one day he's there telling the Lord, Lord, I want this gift of speaking in tongues, but I don't want just the gift of speaking in tongues. I want interpretation of tongues to go with it. And so he pleaded with the Lord and began to ask the Lord, and Lord, I want this in Jesus' name. And then he finally found a guy that in his church, the Holy Spirit was manifesting himself. And so he went over there. And he told him, said, I want you to pray for me. I want this anointing. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to speak in tongues. And so he goes over there. The guy lays hands on him. And bam, he hits the floor. He gets up a little while later. He gets up. He's speaking in tongues. Man, he knows now he's got the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how some people have to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power before you realize when you ask the Lord to give you the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, he's wanting to give it to you. You don't have to have a physical experience to get it. Just ask and believe. That's why you got healed, right? You ask and believe, then you get it. So anyway, he got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and he comes back home. And that nice long ride, and he comes in, he walks into where his sons and his wife and all his children are. Praise God, kids, I got the infilling power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I did it, praise God, I saw it happen. One of his sons says, Dad, say something to us in tongues. And nothing would come out. Nothing. He said, Lord, speak to this boy in tongues. Nothing came out. He waited and he waited and he pleaded. And the kids finally said, oh, well, Dad, forget it. About 10 months later, if I remember the story right, he was there by himself praying and spending time with God. And all of a sudden he noticed he was praying in tongues. And then after he put it, the Lord spoke to him and said, you wanted the gift of tongues, but you didn't want it unless you got the interpretation too. So he said, since you've been obedient, I've just given you the gift of tongues and I've given you the gift of interpretation of tongues. He got both of them. But he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed to get it. See? I mean, ask and you shall receive. Does that mean you ask one time and you get it? No. I've seen people ask for healing and they don't realize it's already done. So they beg and plead and ask God again and again and again to heal them, when all they got to do is finally figure out, it's already done. My healing was done on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's done. Now all I got to do is make sure I repent of all sin and then believe His promises. And when I do, praise God, I'm healed. I have no more sickness, no more disease. And I believe with all my heart, just like the scripture says in the Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12 or wherever it is, about when he starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. I really think that every one of us, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I think He gives us every one of those gifts. I think they're there, but as you study and show yourself approved unto God, there will be times when He'll say, okay, today I have a secret for Thurman that he don't know. I'm going to send him off down to Louisiana, and whenever he starts praying for the people, I'm going to put the gift of miracles on him, and I'm going to have this lady, what was the lady's name?
Norma Garcia.
I'm going to heal a cancer and a lupus and Parkinson's. I'm going to heal all that, and then I'm going to put in his heart that I've just put upon him the gift of miracles, and then he's going to go over there, and he's going to pray for Johnny Broomfield, and I'm going to give him a complete healing, and then I'm going to send my son up, and he's going to go over and pray for a little guy in a wheelchair that can't even sit up, and I'm going to heal that guy completely, and everything's going to start running and screaming in that church, and every bit of that happened that night. Now then, I believe that gift of miracles had been in me since I accepted Jesus at 11. But I'd never seen it manifest like that till that night. And boy, let me tell you, when you see God use you like that, is it wonderful for God to use you, Miss Jackie?
Yes,
don't we love serving the King?
Glory.
Is He a mighty God? Just think, the Spirit. He says here, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, if the Spirit of God moves upon your heart to do something, I mean, that's why I believe that we as Christians should ask the Lord every day, fill me with that mighty Holy Spirit. I want the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I am yielding myself to You. Whatever You want to do today with me, Lord, I'm available. If You want me to pray for somebody, I mean, whatever it is, just use me for Your glory. And somebody said, well, I've never done that. Well, maybe it'd be a good time to start. You know, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You know, there's not anything wrong with asking. Some people say, you know, I've heard a lot of people, in fact, Smith Wigglesworth was one of those that says, if you have to pray for something more than once, you prayed the rest of the time in unbelief. And that may be true. But, you know, I know in my own life there have been times I've asked God for something over and over and over and over and over before I finally got it. And then finally one day I got it. I think He gives us these examples just like He did in Matthew and Luke there. If I keep asking, I'm going to get it. Don't you believe that?
Yeah.
Why would He say it? Why would He give the example of a woman? A woman, you know, I tell you, this one sitting here, my own wife. If she wants something and she comes and asks me and I say no, she don't just say, okay, honey, no problem. She figures she goes around the wall this way and she tries to get in here. No. And then she comes around this way. She tries every way in the world to get what she wants. And I understand women just a little bit. So I know that's why the Lord put that story in there about a woman. He knew that one, that judge knew that woman was going to wear him out with her coming. So he said, I'm going to see that this woman gets justice. Get her off my back. And just like a while ago, she come back here and she said, last week she come and said, honey, I need some money for a cake. I said, okay. Whatever the bill, and I knew exactly what the bill was. I said, the first bill that comes out of my bill, well, that's how much I'll give you. Well, I give her that much. And she, oh, that's great. She loved that. Okay, today she come back and said, I want some more. I said, I ain't going to give you that much again. She said, I want some money. Lean it on the other side and get some out of the other side. I cracked it open. She said, okay, two of those will be okay. I thought, well, two of those almost exactly what one was last week. Don't you see what I mean? She's coming around this way, coming around that way, and she almost got the same thing from me this Sunday she got last Sunday. Didn't like much. But you see, that's why God used that example of a woman. Don't you agree? He knows, just like he said there, this woman, she's going to wear me out. So I know if I don't give her some money, I'm going to be standing here arguing with her for the next 30 minutes. Then we're going to miss church. She is a woman that's got her... But you, now we see why God used a woman. You know, because you girls know how y'all are, right? That's the way y'all are made. God made you like that. He didn't use a man. He knew if a man, we come by and say, no, I don't want to do that. Well, we just walk off. That's just the way we're made, right? Man, we just turn and walk off. No big deal. But a woman, forget it. You know, she ain't going to walk off until she get what she wants. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to next couple of verses. Now, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. How many things? All things. Now then, did you notice what that didn't say is what we say, we know that all things, but it didn't say all things. It sounds like it said all things, but it didn't. It said that whatever the Spirit came up with, the Spirit is the one that intercedes. And then whatever the Spirit intercedes with, then we know that all things that come from the Spirit of God work together for good. It doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is good. That I don't believe that at all. Now, somebody may say, hey, I don't agree with Pastor on that. I believe all things work together for good. Now, he may be able to make all things work together for good. But I will say that if you're led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is moving on your heart, teaching you what to pray for, just like he said in Romans 8, 26 and 27, whatever the Spirit of God comes up with, he will have you pray for whatever is the will of God. And you won't never go wrong if you listen to the Spirit, right? You will never go wrong. And that's just like if you're being led by the Spirit of God, you won't ever pray for anybody wrong. Just like down there or Houston yesterday, last couple of days. One of the men out there, he said, how do you pray for a lost person? I said, those are the easiest ones to pray for. I said, they have no faith. Only God uses your faith. So I said, if you want to really see God do something wonderful, you just find somebody that's lost that don't know anything about God's word and let them have a headache or get sick or not feel good or whatever. And you just say, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. Let me pray for that headache. Let me lay hands on you. What? Yeah, Jesus said, lay hands on, reach over and put your hands on her and say, headache be gone in the name of Jesus. And then turn and say, the headache's gone, isn't it? Isn't that something? Now see, the lost people are the easiest people in the world to pray for because they don't have no faith. Now then, somebody else asked, who's the hardest people to pray for? I said, pastors and seminary professors. Why? Because they think they know everything. And Jesus made it so difficult. Lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. You can't hardly mess that up, you know that? It takes a whatever. Jesus made this book so simple that we just don't believe it. Do we? Did we pray for your back? Are you healed? Amen. He's got it. See, he's got it. He knows the principles of the kingdom just like Jack, and he's got it. And I guarantee this young man right here, come up here from where are you from, sir? Lafayette, Louisiana. He drove all the way up here from Lafayette, Louisiana to get his back healed. Oh, you spent a 3-hour stop in Manny?
3 hours south of Manny.
Oh, 3 hours south of Manny. Okay, so you heard some of my stories about Manny then, haven't you? I mean, we've seen God do some awesome things in Manny. I'm telling you, wow. I'll tell you, the guy down there, that Johnny Brumfield, that had the legs that were all tore up, the night he got healed, the man that owned all that stuff where Johnny worked, his wife was there at the meeting. And when we prayed and Johnny got healed, his wife goes home and says, "Honey, you should have been at the meeting tonight. We saw a man that couldn't walk in a wheelchair, that had steel braces on his legs, get up and walk and run all over the church." He said, "Yeah, sure you did. Wonder what they paid him to do that." She said, "No, you know this man." He said, "I know him. Who is it?" She said, "Johnny Brumfield. The Johnny Brumfield that works for me, that the tree fell on, that crushed his legs, that's him. You saw him walk?" She said, "Yes. I saw him run all over that church." He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going with you tomorrow night, and I'm going to give him the first 30 minutes. I'm going to give that preacher 30 minutes. And that's exactly what he did. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I ain't going to be there 30 minutes after what I saw God do the night before. Man, I'm going to be there. I want to see him do something else. You know, if I saw him heal Norma Garcia in a heartbeat, and Norma was shaking like this when I touched her in the name of Jesus, and she got instantly healed, and Johnny couldn't walk, hadn't walked in 21 months, and he jumps up off the front row and starts running all over the church. If you get to see God do something like that, hey, let's go to church tomorrow night. Let's see what he's going to do. If you don't go, you don't get to see it, do you? Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo, praise the Lord. What are we going to do about praying? Are we going to pray or are we going to pray? I want us to spend some time praying for certain people. Did God tell us to pray? Did he really command us to pray? Did he say he would do something if we prayed? Yes, he did. So I think that we ought to start today. I would like to put Weston Blair. How many of y'all remember Weston Blair? Okay, yeah. Well, he's got a really bad problem. He's got a bad case of Alzheimer's. That's why you haven't seen him in a while. I want us to pray for Weston Blair. That's one person I want to pray for. And then I want to be on this prayer list today because I'm getting to where I cannot pass a physical for my eyes to fly an airplane. I can't pass it. So I want y'all to pray for me, for my body, not only just my eyes, but I want, and anybody else, since we don't know what all's going on anywhere else in people's body, pray that God will do a Jesus overhaul on me to, and primarily make my eyes 20/20 again, like they used to be, because they ain't there. And I absolutely cannot fly. I cannot pass a medical at this point. And I want my eyesight back. And when I look at these things, Jesus said, if we ask, he will do whatever we ask. Did he not?
Yes.
So I don't know how long it's going to take, but as I watched that last night with Dave, and I thought, Dave, he fought that battle for 20 months. So, Lord, I hope it don't take me 20 months to fight that battle, but if it does, I'm going to fight it. I am not going to give up. I'm going to stand on his word, but I know it's going to take prayer. And if while you're praying, if you happen to think of somebody, aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever you want to pray for too, you pray for them too, for whatever you want them to be prayed for, because God's not limited. The only thing limits him is by what we say. If we only pray for two people, we have a maximum of two people that can get healed, right? But if we pray for lots of people, then there's no answer, no limit to the number of healings that are miracles that we can see our God do, right? I know that he can do it. So I don't care how long you stay. As long as somebody's praying this afternoon, I'm going to be here with you. What I've learned, and I think we've learned, that if we don't pray, we ain't going to see no miracles. After we pray, what's the limit? Nothing. There's nothing. We can see anything. Did the Lord give us the example of the unjust judge in here today? He said, because of their coming, I'm going to see that they get their answer speedily. Now, I like that. We serve an awesome God, ladies and gentlemen. And he does hear our prayer. And he told us how to do things in his word, and that's the way it works. And that's the only way it works. It's the way he said it. It don't work no other way. So we come in to to him on behalf of his word and then believe with no doubt in our heart. And when we pray, what does he always say we're supposed to do after we pray? Thank him. That's right. Lord, we thank you. We pray for Weston Blair from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We break the curse over him. He's redeemed from the curse. We command those spiritual curse to leave Weston. And we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit for healing Weston from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, or Thurman, which whoever, anybody, John, Jack, Bobby, Susie, whoever you want to pray for. And then, Father, we thank you and praise you for doing it for every one of them. We thank you. It's done in Jesus' name. Because I have noticed many times in my life when I said, thank you, Lord, for my prayer, at that instant when I said thank you, the person was instantly healed. Now, I've seen that. We've seen that right here in this church several times, that people were instantly healed. And sometimes we say thank you for the answer, and then we don't get healed until we get out to the parking lot. But we've seen that too. That day when I prayed for Jack, I thanked the Lord for his healing right there wherever he was sitting. I thanked the Lord for healing him according to his word. But Jack didn't get healed until he got to the car. But once he got to the car, he got healed. So the Lord expects us to thank him up front. So when you pray, always thank the Lord for your prayer. While we were in Houston, Sharon's there. She stood up a while ago. I'll tell you a story a man told us. I believe it was Sharon, that he had a brother. He had so many things wrong with him.
He said he was dying.
Yeah, said his brother was dying. And immediately the brother knew of us, and he ran to the phone and called our prayer line. And somehow he got Sharon, and she prayed the prayer of faith for him. And this, and he explained to her that his brother had been told by a couple of good doctors that he's dying and he ain't going to make it. And Sharon prayed a powerful prayer. And 2 days later, they released the man from the hospital, and he's still totally well today. And that's what the man told us, that when he got out of the hospital, a doctor said, we don't know what happened, but what happened is impossible. Now, what is impossible with God? Nothing. We got to realize that, but the world don't know that. But Sharon got to pray that prayer. I mean, God hears that woman's prayer, but he hears all of our prayers. I want us to just pray expecting God to do something for everybody we pray for this afternoon. If it takes us 15 minutes to do this or 4 hours to do this, I want to see God show up here. Don't you?
Yes.
Father, I thank you and praise you for this group that's here today. I know there's a lot of people here who wants to be a part of this prayer team, and we want to see you do great and mighty things. Just like when Sharon prayed for that man the other day, or like about a year ago, his brother and him both still telling everybody they see about what happened that Jesus did to them from the Living Savior Church. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for that, because we know you're the King of Kings, and there ain't nothing even hard for you, Lord. All we got to do is touch your heart. Oh, Father, I thank you for Weston Blair. I thank you that you healed Weston of cancer. I saw you heal him of cancer. I saw him when the doctor said that he could not make it, but yet he did make it. He fought his battle and he won it. But now then this other thing. So Lord, we remit Weston's sins. We thank you for forgiving all of his sins. Now we thank you that you redeemed Weston from the curse. And I command those spirits of curse to come out of him, leave him, and go to the abyss and never come back. Satan, I rebuke you, and I command you to leave him alone. Now, Father, I ask you to send the precious Holy Spirit into Weston Blair's life and do a complete Jesus overhaul on him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Make him every whit whole. Now, Father, for my body, especially my eyes, Lord, I ask you to, you told me to call on you and you will answer me. Lord, I need my eyes to be 20/20. I need them to be perfect. Lord, I don't know what all might be working or that's not right in there in my body, but Lord, I repent of all sin. If there's any kind of sin that I don't know about, please bring it to my attention. I would be more than happy to repent, Lord. I don't want to walk in sin. I want to walk holy in your presence. And Lord, I thank you for your promises, which are all yes and amen. So I thank you for healing me. I thank you for healing my body, not only my eyes, but if there's anything else that's not right in my body from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I ask you to do a Jesus overhaul on me. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, make everything in my body work perfect, and I give you all the praise and glory. I ask you to lead us all by the Spirit of the living God. May you fill every one of us with the Holy Spirit, and may the Holy Spirit be the guide and director. We want to give you praise and glory and thanksgiving for all the things you're going to do and what you've already done in the past, but what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.